From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up is Joe Biden's on-again, off-again support to prevent taxpayer funding, taxpayers from being forced to pay for abortions, reflecting the new Democratic Party or just the fringe element running for president? Well, we will soon find out as House Democrats take up one of the largest appropriations bills this week, the nearly $1 trillion measure that has historically restricted taxpayer dollars from funding abortion will be in the crosshairs of the left. Indiana Congressman Jim Banks is here on the significance of this looming battle in just a moment. And does it matter what flag flies over our embassies in foreign countries? Now, you're probably thinking that's a dumb question. Well, there are those who are balking at the Trump administration's refusal to allow the Pride flag to be flown at U.S. installations. The debate has renewed a call for legislation that would make clear only the American flag is flown at our embassies. I'll talk about the Old Glory Act with co-sponsor Congressman Andy Harris of Maryland. And 185 CEOs have signed a letter in a New York Times ad claiming that protective pro-life laws are somehow bad for business. Now, look, everyone is entitled to their own opinion, but not their own facts. The facts simply don't back up their claim. I'll talk about it with Justin Danhoff, General Counsel for the National Center for Public Policy Research and Director of the Free Enterprise Institute. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you miss anything on your way home this afternoon, you can find it all later, archived at TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T. Perkins. Hey, before we jump into this first item in a related matter, as you know, the U.S. House of Representatives, in the U.S. House of Representatives, Democrats have blocked more than 50 attempts for a floor vote on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. That's the one that prevents America from going down the path that New York Governor Andrew Cuomo wants to take us down, infanticide. Now, House Minority Whip Steve Scalise and Congresswoman Ann Wagner have filed a discharge petition on the Born Alive Act. Now, we've talked about this many times. Now, the discharge petition requires 218 members to sign the petition, and then that would force Speaker Pelosi and the House Democrats to bring the bill to the floor for a vote. They're blocking it right now. Well, here's the good news. 201 members of Congress have signed the discharge petition. That's a bipartisan support. Only 17 more signatures are needed to force a vote on this bill that would protect babies who survive an attempted abortion. Now, your help's needed. Let me invite you to join us here at the Family Research Council. And we're sending a very clear message to Nancy Pelosi by way of 90,000 baby hats. She can't deny that message that America wants to protect the born. Now, you can help. For $9, you can be a part of sending one of these thermal baby caps, you know, the blue and pink that every newborn baby receives. We're over halfway there, almost 50,000 of those. Right now, we want to put it over the top. We've got folks standing by to take your phone call. If you'd like to join that effort today, call 800-225-4008. That's 800-225-4008. Or go to TonyPerkins.com and click on the End Birthday Abortion banner. For every $9 you give, we'll send another newborn baby hat to Nancy Pelosi's office. Again, you can call that number 800-225-4008 anytime during the program today. All right, speaking of abortion, the Democrats are, I mean, they're not satisfied with the status quo when it comes to the pro-life protections that this administration has pushed forward. In fact, there is a increasing threat to the Hyde Amendment. Now, that's an appropriations rider that has been on appropriations bills going back to the mid-70s, named for Henry Hyde of Illinois. That simply said, look, don't care where you stand on abortion, but we're not going to force taxpayers to fund it. Well, the new Democratic Party and their platform calls for an elimination of Hyde, all two dozen presidential candidates on the Democratic side calling for its removal, including the back and forth of Joe Biden, the one moderate in the race. Joining me now to talk about this is our good friend from Indiana, Jim Banks. Jim, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Always good to be with you.
This threat to the Hyde Amendment is real. The Democrats are not satisfied with status quo. They want to force taxpayers to be in the abortion business.
Well, Tony, I never thought I would see this day. For nearly four decades, the Hyde Amendment has been the bipartisan position on Capitol Hill. And today, more than ever, we are seeing a threat to the preservation of the Hyde Amendment. In fact, tomorrow we expect a vote on the House floor, an amendment to the minibus authored by a freshman radical Democrat from Massachusetts, Ayanna Pressley, which would strip Hyde Amendment protections out of the minibus. That's where the Democrat Party is today. And if it does, if that amendment is ruled in order and there is a vote on the House floor, you're going to see the difference very loud and clear between Republicans and Democrats on Capitol Hill, on those who support the Hyde Amendment and protecting that provision, and those who want to tear it away.
Now, Congressman Banks, the president has been very clear on this, and I know you were part of this with the other members of the pro-life caucus, requesting the letter, requesting the president send a letter making very clear where he stands on this. And he has issued a letter that said anything that would pull back or affect the pro-life provisions that he's made, including Mexico City, including the Title X regulations, which is the co-location, making sure that those who do abortions can't get family planning dollars, and of course, obviously Hyde, that he'll veto those measures. So are they just looking to pick a fight with the president over this?
Absolutely. I'm very proud of President Trump, who is the most pro-life president that we've ever had, Tony. I mean, he's kept his word every step of the way. So when he announces that he will veto any bill that gets to his desk that would strip Hyde Amendment protections, I take him at his word and know that he will unequivocally keep that promise. I, too, authored a letter signed by over 100 of my colleagues to Speaker Pelosi, telling her that I and the over 100 other members who signed that letter would vote against any measure that would strip away Hyde protections. But the battle on Capitol Hill, especially in the House of Representatives, is between the radical left wing of the Democrat Party, who has their sights trained on the Hyde Amendment more than ever before, against those of us who have fought for and defended the Hyde Amendment protections for over 40 years and will do everything that we can to prevent radical Democrats from stripping it away.
This is the Hyde Amendment has been a bipartisan issue. I mean, nobody's ever really raised an eyebrow about it. It's just been every year added to the appropriations bill because those who support abortion have always recognized that Americans shouldn't be forced to do something they're morally opposed to. But this is a new day. And I think I'm not quite sure what's driving it, but I think we see it reflected most prominently in the field of Democratic presidential candidates. I want to play a clip from CNN that was on Friday. Now, this, you know, as you've been tracking, Joe Biden's been back and forth on the Hyde Amendment, his support for it, off again, on again. Well, his deputy campaign manager, Kate Bedingfield, was speaking with Brianna Kaler on CNN's Right Now. About his position, and this is about as clear as mud, but it shows how confused they are, but something is driving this. So listen to this clip.
What was the thing that changed his mind? You've heard him say. He said last night he is looking, as he's thinking about his health care plan, which he'll roll out in the coming weeks, and he's thinking about access, and he's thinking about how we ensure that in a moment when choice is under fire, when, you know, Republican-led state legislatures are coming after choice, how do we make sure that every woman who needs access to health care gets it? That's going to be a piece of his plan when he rolls out his health care plan. And as he was working through that, he decided that in this moment of crisis, that he could no longer be for something that would close off those avenues to women.
All of those conditions that you just explained are as they were on Wednesday when NBC News published their story saying that Joe Biden, according to his campaign, was still held this position, which he is now against the Hyde Amendment. Is there some, he said, look, he says he says in his book, I've made life difficult for myself by putting intellectual consistency and personal principle above expediency. So are we in this moment? What is the process?
You heard him. Well, you heard him say it. I think you've asked the question a lot of ways. I've answered it. I mean,
I don't think you've answered it. Kate.
He has looked at the crisis that we're facing.
What was the thing that made him?
This was a personal decision.
Did anyone in the campaign talk to him? Did they give him any evidence? Did they show him the polls on where Democrats, likely voters in the primary, stand?
This is a personal decision of his. It was a tough decision. It's one he wrestled with.
All right, Congressman Banks, I fail to see the logic in this. Maybe you can help me out here. But just because states are passing heartbeat bills, pro-life bills, the Biden wants to join the other Democrats in forcing taxpayers to fund it. And that's the reason he says he's doing it. I don't follow.
Yeah, it's a thin excuse, Tony, but it is a sign of the time. And this has been a long time coming. The Democrat Party platform position is to strip away Hyde Amendment protections. And while Joe Biden, for his over 50 years of public service in the Senate and as vice president, has always defended Hyde Amendment protections. Now, which by the way, Joe Biden, Vice President Biden, Senator Biden was never pro-life, but the long-term mainstream position was in support of Hyde Amendment protections. Now Joe Biden, like the rest of the candidates running for president, are drifting further and further to the left to appease the Democrat base. That's why, if this amendment to the many of us comes to a vote on the floor of the House of Representatives tomorrow or sometime this week to strip Hyde Amendment protections out of this funding package, you're going to see an overwhelming majority of Democrats vote for it. And I believe every single Republican in the House will vote against it.
Jim, what I see behind this is that I think the left knows that we're at a pivotal point in America's history when it comes to the abortion issue. As we've seen over the last four decades, America pushing back to the courts, imposition of abortion on demand on the nation. And now we're at a point that, because of the 2016 election and the election of Donald Trump, who pledged to appoint conservatives or constitutionalists to the court that were pro-life, that they see that we could very well soon have a court that would overturn, in essence, Roe v. Wade, Planned Parenthood versus Casey. And so they're trying to set the stage for the court to be able to point and say, no, the American people are not for that. And so this is a time that Americans need to speak out.
No question, Tony. I believe that this battle is so important. I can't imagine a more important time to be a member of Congress to fight battles like these and support the Hyde Amendment for the future, for my daughter's generation. Appreciate all that you and FRC does to do just that.
Well, thank you, Congressman Jim Banks, and we will be encouraging people to support and encourage their members of Congress to stand with you and the other pro-life members.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
You too. Congressman Jim Banks of Indiana. All right. When we come back, what flag should be flying over U.S. embassies? Should be a no-brainer. Well, we'll talk about it with Maryland Congressman Andy Harris when we return. Don't go away.
There is unprecedented religious persecution around the globe. In recent years, research has found increasing governmental and social hostility towards religious believers worldwide. For the last 10 years, Christians have been harassed in more countries, including the United States, than any other religious group. While the specific threats to religious freedom vary in type and intensity, one common source is the legal and cultural support for apostasy, blasphemy, and anti-conversion laws, which often threaten the freedom to choose or change one's faith. In a new publication from Family Research Council, we list which nations around the world have these unjust laws on the books, and spotlight people who have faced severe penalties simply for sharing or changing their faith. For more information on religious hostility due to apostasy, blasphemy, and anti-conversion laws around the world, visit frc.org/ABA laws. That's frc.org/ABA laws.
Happy birthday. In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy birthday, dear.
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
Can United States senators interrogate court nominees on their religious beliefs? This is a controversial question that our country is facing today. In light of this controversy, FRC has taken up the task of answering this question with one of their latest publications, Rebels Without a Clause. We've seen in recent Senate confirmation hearings a troubling pattern arise where senators have begun questioning presidential nominees about their faith as an attempt to discredit them. These interrogations have gone so far as to asking nominees of their theological beliefs, church membership, and associations with faith-based nonprofits. It has been an alarming display of hostility toward religion and people of faith. Visit frc.org/test to learn what questioning the Constitution's No Religious Test Clause allows and forbids in the process of confirming judicial nominees. That's frc.org/test.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. And once again, if you would like to join the End Birthday Abortion Campaign, we've got folks standing by to take your call. 800-225-4008, 800-225-4008, or go to TonyPerkins.com and join the End Birthday Abortion Campaign by sending one of those little baby thermal baby hats to Nancy Pelosi, a message she cannot ignore. All right. The Trump administration has essentially at the State Department said that no flags other than the U.S. flag can be flown. If you want permission to fly any other flag, you have to ask the State Department. And the State Department has refused to grant any request to hoist the Pride flag over embassies around the world, which has many activists within the ranks of diplomats grumbling. Well, I mean, think about it. What flag should be flying over U.S. installations in some of these host countries that are vehemently opposed to the agenda of the LGBTQ community? But bigger than that, if we open this door, and of course the Obama administration did, and that's the problem, they did it, and now it's as if it's a right. But what about ethnic groups? Should they not be able to fly their flags? I mean, just think about it for a moment, where this could lead. Well, members in Congress have thought about it, and so they have introduced a measure called the Old Glory Act, which essentially says only the American flag should be flown on these installations. Joining me now to talk about it, Congressman Andy Harris. He represents the 1st District of Maryland, and he serves on the House Committee on Appropriations. Andy, welcome back to Washington Watch.
It's good to be back with you, Tony.
So this debate that now has started once again because we're in the month of June, which is some have dedicated the Gay Pride Month. This is brought back to the forefront, this call for legislation saying only the American flag will be flown.
Look, we need legislation like that because it's about time we stop the left wing, the far left ideological colonialization that has been going on at the State Department for the last during the last administration. I'm tired of visiting embassies around the world and foreign leaders who are our allies telling us that the last administration, all they were interested about is expanding abortion rights and
the same-sex marriage privileges throughout the world. They weren't talking about the importance of real foreign policy and real diplomacy. That was the agenda. That agenda has to stop.
Yeah, and I've heard the same comments. In fact, the Obama administration strong-armed countries, saying that if you don't abide by our when it comes to same-sex marriage and abortion, we're going to withhold money, our foreign aid to you, to try to snap them into line. And as you said, it's a form of a cultural imperialism to impose this on these other nations.
Absolutely. And there's no place in the State Department. I think Secretary of State Pompeo has it exactly right with the current policy. I was astounded to hear that despite that, a deep state does exist within the State Department and clearly in our foreign embassies as well, and that there are people in those foreign embassies who flout the new the rule. And I hope that they're disciplined appropriately. The fact of the matter is, we have to present a united front to the world, and that united front is different under this administration than the last administration.
But Congressman Harris, are you concerned if we continue down this path that others could say, look, we represent more Americans than this LGBT and Pride initiative, and should we not be able to hoist our flag, have our own designated period of time and have our flag flown over our embassies?
Oh, absolutely. Now, Tony, can you imagine the uproar if an embassy flew the Gadsden flag, for instance, put that flag under the American flag? And again, the fact of the matter is the American flag is the only flag that belongs on our embassy. It is what unites all Americans. Putting anything else underneath it, in fact, divides Americans, doesn't unite Americans.
It does. I mean, if you think about it, we're talking, 6-7% of the population that identifies as walking under the banner of the Pride flag. But, I mean, you think about, America, 75% of Americans identify as Christians. What if we advocated flying the Christian flag over embassies? How do you think that would go over?
No, that's absolutely right. And that's why, the Old Glory Act is the one we need. We need to send a clear message that the only flag appropriate to fly over a U.S. embassy is the U.S. flag. You can have your personal opinions. They have to remain personal opinions. They're not the opinion that we're going to spread around the world. And it's just gone too far. And again, I'm glad this has been uncovered, what's going on at the foreign embassies. And again, I hope the secretary takes appropriate actions because, the deep state is alive and well, and this is an example of it.
I think, Congressman Harris, to your point, it's a new day, new policies. This administration is focused on doing the business of the American people, pursuing American interest abroad. And it is a big break from the previous administration. And I think while this may be somewhat symbolic, I think it is quite significant of the entire agenda that the previous administration was pushing through the State Department.
That's absolutely right. And again, as we've already spoken about, the fact of the matter is many, many foreign dignitaries and leaders will say in private that they resent what America did in the last administration, pushing a social agenda through their, the diplomatic services and aggressively pursuing it to the point, mm-hmm. just like you said, where, the threat was that, you'll withhold humanitarian aid, literally withholding humanitarian aid based on whether or not you're going to advance the liberal agenda in your country.
Yeah, I mean, even officials in Nigeria said the United States refused to help the Nigerian government contain Boko Haram unless they changed their laws regarding homosexuality and family planning and birth control.
Absolutely.
That's how
right.
far
has
it
no
went.
Place in the State Department. Has no place in our State Department. You bet.
Congressman Andy Harris, as always, great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
All right, Congressman Andy Harris of Maryland. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, when we come back, 185 businesses calling out states that promote life as being bad for business. Well, there's a little hypocrisy here. We'll explore the hypocrisy. Also, we'll delve into the facts. Are they accurate? The businesses, or states rather, that have conservative, pro-family, pro-life policies, are they better for business? We'll look at it. Don't go away.
Happy birthday.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
The latest Trojan horse on Capitol Hill is called the Equality Act. The way the left is advertising this bill is misleading because it does not further equality at all. It would actually violate current protections in place that allow private institutions and people of faith to freely act in accordance to their deeply held beliefs. The Equality Act explicitly removes religious liberty protections that were originally put in place with bipartisan support. Its stated goal is equality. But its actual result is harm to vast members of communities, individuals, and Americans as a whole by undercutting our foundational freedom of religion. Is this really what equality looks like? A more fitting name for the Equality Act would be the Inequality Act. For more information on the mass threat of the Equality Act, visit frc.org/EqualityAct2019. That's frc.org/EqualityAct2019.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Again, if you'd like to join the End Birthday Abortion campaign, we've got folks standing by to take your call. 800-225-4008. 800-225-4008. Every $9 that you donate to the effort to end birthday abortions, we will send a baby hat to Nancy Pelosi, a message she cannot refuse to see. All right. More than 180 CEOs have signed a letter opposing laws and regulations that protect life, heartbeat bills, so on and so forth. Well, CNBC reports that the letter appeared today as a full-page ad in the New York Times under the heading Don't Ban Equality. Now, they're going after these states. You've heard this. You know, you've got Hollywood and these businesses saying, we're not going to do business here. Well, this is nothing new. We heard it in North Carolina after they passed what was called HB 2, the privacy bill, when Obama wanted to force children to be able to use the same bathroom, and then it expanded in Charlotte, pushing this forward. And so the legislature stepped in and they took action. They said, oh, this is going to be bad for business. Well, North Carolina continues to be at the top of Forbes's list of places to do business. And people aren't leaving the state. They're growing at twice the rate as the rest of the country. All of these states that have these conservative policies also have policies that have been really conducive to business and what has attracted places like Hollywood to come and make movies and these businesses to move their headquarters. But then they get there and they want to change the very policies that helped make it a prosperous environment. Now, couple of things here. Are their facts accurate? And is there a little hypocrisy here? Joining me now is Justin Danhoff. He's the general counsel for the National Center for Public Policy Research. Justin, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
So is this, are these conservative policies, these pro-life policies in particular we're talking about, are they bad for business?
No, it's comical. They should have no effect whatsoever on business. We're talking about cultural issues. We're talking about the issue of life. This is not an economic issue. But what we see here is an interesting pattern. A few weeks ago, after Alabama and Georgia passed pro-life legislation, the headlines were a lot different. The headlines actually read, business stays away from abortion debate. That was all over the business press and all over the mainstream press. Well, what happened? That wasn't going to sit well with the activists on the left, because the activists on the left must get business to back them in these culture battles. So the ACLU, NARAL, Planned Parenthood, the Center for Reproductive Rights, they're the ones that went banging on corporate America's door and said, you better get on board here. You better join our side in this cultural battle. And I can tell you one of the reasons why these 180 companies, and this isn't even talking about all the Hollywood companies such as Netflix that I'd like to talk a little bit more about, but it makes it easy for these companies to jump on board with tipping the scales in the cultural battles because they didn't hear from us. They didn't hear from pro-life individuals. They didn't hear from people that value these policies. And so when they're only hearing from one side of the aisle, that's why they don't mind kicking their thumb and trying to tip the scales in the cultural wars. Our activists didn't coalesce and go to corporate America on this issue. So now we're caught playing defense and being reactive, which is still an important thing to do because these companies still need to hear from us after the fact, which is why last week I asked Netflix exactly about the hypocritical nature of their stance, specifically in regards to Georgia, where they do a lot of their filming and threatening economic harm against that state, while at the same time producing films and shows in Egypt, but saying nothing about what would happen if somebody had an abortion in Egypt. The answer would be they'd probably go to jail. And so, you know, it's very interesting that when I asked Reed Hastings, perhaps one of the top five liberal social justice warriors, CEOs in America, the CEO of Netflix, about this level of hypocrisy and when we could expect to see a press release announcing that Netflix was going to withdraw all filming from Egypt, he refused to answer the question. Think about that. So he is a social justice warrior CEO who is proud to, you know, dump his chest in public when he thinks no one's going to question him on the matter. And really, all I was doing was the job of the mainstream media to kind of call out these, you know, corporate hypocrites and get answers from them on these issues. So interestingly enough, when you confront them, he had nothing to say about the matter.
Well, speaking of hypocrisy in Hollywood, I do want to go there. I got a clip here from Spike Lee. I want to play this clip and then, well, I tell you what, we're up against a break. Can you hold on, Justin?
Absolutely.
All right. I want to play a clip when we come back of Spike Lee, and I want to talk about this hypocrisy of Hollywood. I mean, it is remarkable, and you're absolutely right. The media doesn't ask these questions, and they don't tell the stories. All right, folks, don't go away. Justin Danhof with me talking about all this moralizing from Hollywood and these big tech companies about Georgia and Alabama and Louisiana states that have passed pro-life laws. We're going to talk more about this on the other side of the break, so don't go away. More Washington Watch to come right after this.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
The latest Trojan horse on Capitol Hill is called the Equality Act. The way the left is advertising this bill is misleading because it does not further equality at all. It would actually violate current protections in place that allow private institutions and people of faith to freely act in accordance to their deeply held beliefs. The Equality Act explicitly removes religious liberty protections that were originally put in place with bipartisan support. Its stated goal is equality, but its actual result is harm to vast members of communities, individuals, and Americans as a whole by undercutting our foundational freedom of religion. Is this really what equality looks like? A more fitting name for the Equality Act would be the Inequality Act. For more information on the mass threat of the Equality Act, visit frc.org/EqualityAct2019. That's frc.org/EqualityAct2019.
Can United States senators interrogate court nominees on their religious beliefs? This is a controversial question that our country is facing today. In light of this controversy, FRC has taken up the task of answering this question with one of their latest publications, Rebels Without a Clause. We've seen in recent Senate confirmation hearings a troubling pattern arise where senators have begun questioning presidential nominees about their faith as an attempt to discredit them. These interrogations have gone so far as to asking nominees of their theological beliefs, church membership, and associations with faith-based nonprofits. It has been an alarming display of hostility toward religion and people of faith. Visit frc.org/test to learn what questioning the Constitution's No Religious Test Clause allows and forbids in the process of confirming judicial nominees. That's frc.org/test.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. The website, TonyPerkins.com. And let me remind you once again today, we've got folks standing by to take your phone call if you'd like to join the End Birthday Abortion campaign. Now, Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats have refused over 50 times, 50 requests to allow a vote on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. And so a discharge petition has been filed. It has 201 signatures. It needs 218 to force a vote. And to help this along, to make sure that Nancy Pelosi cannot ignore this issue, we're going to take, I'm working with the Republican leadership, I'm going to take and deliver 90,000 of the thermal baby hats, the newborn hats that babies get in the hospital, so that she sees what we're talking about. We're talking about born alive babies. We cannot allow America to go there. You can be a part of that campaign. Give us a call, 800-225-4008, or go to TonyPerkins.com and click on the In Birthday Abortion banner. All right, we're talking with Justin Danhoff, General Counsel for the National Center for Public Policy Research, and also the director of the Free Enterprise Project, about the hypocrisy of both corporate America and Hollywood. Now, Justin, before I play this clip of Spike Lee and get into the Hollywood, I want to just touch a minute on the hypocrisy of the business community in America that is moralizing over Georgia, Alabama, and these other states that are taking, in North Carolina, when they took the stand on the issue of privacy. Most of these companies, and you don't have to do a lot of research. I know folks can just Google it and they'll see it. I've got a list in front of me of about 250 American companies that have manufacturing centers in China, one of the most repressive regimes on the planet. In fact, some of these institutions, like Coca-Cola, are linked to these forced labor camps where the Uyghurs are operating, according to reports. Now, I've not been able to independently verify it, but they're entangled in that. And they want to stand on the soapbox and say how they are the champions of social justice, and they're in China operating? I mean, how do they keep a straight face and do that?
Because they don't think they're going to get called out on it. And it's not just China. It's all over the Middle East. I mean, even when we talk about, you know, repressive regimes throughout the Middle East and a smaller extent in Africa. But, you know, think about even when President Obama had his ridiculous ideas about normalizing certain relationships with Iran and opening up business, American businesses were lining up like Boeing, General Electric, and others to do business with Iran, for goodness sake. And so that's, you know, the hypocrisy runs deep in corporate America. And again, if you have a voice and this offends you, we're specifically talking about the life issue, get on the horn, call the investors relations office, call the government relations office, heck, call the board of directors if you can find a phone number for them, and let them know that you have a voice too, and that you want innocents to have a voice someday as well.
Now, Justin, you've actually been going to a number of these shareholder meetings, and you've been raising these issues in these environments where, as you said, they're not getting the opposite voice. And why is that? Why is it so one-sided in corporate America today?
It's a multifaceted issue, but I think the first thing boils down to the fact that conservatives and oftentimes Christians view the word activism as something that only the left does. It's a four-letter word that we just don't do. And I think that that's part of the problem. The other part of the problem is, look, we do have the best economic system in the history of the world, and companies are the driver of that. So conservatives, by and large, recognize that our American economic system that is built on free enterprise, even though we don't truly have a free market system anymore with so much government in place, but that is the best economic driver in the history of the world that has lifted more people out of poverty than anything ever in the history of mankind. And so while conservatives recognize that, what I always point out is, well, look at this issue. They stand against life. They stand against the Second Amendment. They brought you Obamacare, which made you lose your doctor. These are all actions mm-hmm. corporate America has taken. We talked about in Indiana and Georgia when they stood against religious freedom legislation at the state level. And so, you know, then you talk about the tech companies, even though it's not a government, they're certainly censoring speech when we're talking about Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and the like. So when I talk to my conservative friends, I say, you know, how many of your traditional freedoms do I need to list before you realize corporate America no longer stands with you? And so that's just it, is you have to overcome that hurdle of, yes, business operates in a great economic sphere to create prosperity for millions and millions of folks. However, they are now using that power to try and chip away at the traditional liberties that actually made this country what it is and the values that you hold dear personally.
Well, Justin, all of that is 100% correct. I would put a finer point on it to say this, that corporate America is now using the profits and the proceeds from the commerce that we've done with them in this favorable economic climate, which conservatives have created for them by lower regulations and more favorable tax status. That hasn't come to them by way of liberals, whose drumbeat they're marching to when it comes to their social policy. I think it's time for a new realignment in America when it comes to business, big business, and conservatives. They are no longer friends of the conservatives in this country.
No, and it's a pattern, right? So they've been getting away with it for so long that they think that they can offend us with impunity, because frankly, they have offended us with impunity to date. But, you know, this is not the time for passivity. These are serious issues. And if you have states where the legislature or the governor are weak, it could actually tilt and change. Again, corporate America oftentimes gets involved in these fights when they don't have when liberals are out of power politically. Okay, so that's often when the corporate pressure actually ramps up, is when there's not a liberal governor or something in the way to try and stop some of this. So this is the time to really get engaged with corporate America, because they are, look, it's 180 companies that signed onto that ad in the New York Times today. By tomorrow, I imagine that number will be growing, not shrinking.
Yeah, it's something you said that I want to just draw attention to, because most people probably didn't catch it. But you talked about how big business has brought us Obamacare and caused us to lose our doctors. One of the companies, which I was shocked when they did it and had conversations with their people, Walmart was one of the supporters of Obamacare. Came out in favor of it. Is big business that bought onto these liberal ideas that were hostile to conservative values. And as a result, we suffer from this. One other point before I play this clip of Spike Lee is that what I see, Justin, is that you see these liberal coastal companies, you know, you got Hollywood, you got these New York firms that are wanting to go to these states that have favorable climates for business, Texas, Georgia, Alabama, North Carolina. And they fail to realize that what's so attractive, what has created this environment, are conservative, both fiscal and social conservative policies. They get there and they want to bring in the same failed policies of where they came from, which caused them to leave.
Yeah, it's exactly right. And, you know, it shows a logical disconnect in their brains, doesn't it?
But the policymakers in these states that are having the courage to stand up and take these policies should not be intimidated by this. They need to stand their grounds. All right. Before we run out of time, I want to go to Hollywood. I want to turn to their hypocrisy. But here's a clip from Spike Lee.
They got to shut it down. You know, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, but I know it's going to affect people's livelihood. But that's how things change. You know, there were black bus drivers in Montgomery, and they were affected by the boycott, but so be it. You know, you got to be on the right side of history. And the state of Georgia and those other states, they're wrong.
All right. You know, where do you begin with this? They're on the wrong side of history. You know, you got to stop this. Hollywood, and we were talking about big business in China, but Hollywood, and China is easy to pick on because Hollywood has been working in this collaborative co-production effort because they see China now as one of their second, almost their biggest market for their movies. And if they flop domestically, they can succeed, make a movie successful because of the China market. But they've actually been working with the Chinese government and the State Administration of Radio, Film, and Television to appease the demands of the government over there, to censor their content, to appease the Chinese officials. And the list goes on of what they're doing in partnership with China, and they want to moralize here in the United States.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, Google is working on a way to create a search engine that censors in the way the Chinese government wants. I mean, it's the list goes on and on. And I think you bring home a really good point when you talk about the fact that folks leave liberal states because of bad policies and try and bring those bad policies. That is Georgia in a nutshell right now. The reason so many studios film in Georgia is because of the economic environment that they created there that is not available to them in California. That's the reason studios, you know, over the last 6 or 7 years are just popping up left and right in the state of Georgia. And now we're going to listen to Alyssa Milano, Amy Schumer, and Spike Lee to direct our how we're going to, you know, run the state. So that's just it's silly. And my message to business is, let the economic interests run your company. Let the shareholders, let the investors, and let the economics play out. Don't let Alyssa Milano and Spike Lee be the tail that wags the dog of your company.
So when you see this the hypocrisy here that most Americans don't see, because as you said, the media, the news media does not ask them about this. They don't talk about what they're doing in these other countries. But for them, the bottom line is the bottom line. You're actually right. I'm absolutely right. They went to Georgia because of the tax incentives and the rebates. I mean, we did that in Louisiana back when I was in the legislature there. We were one of the first to draw a lot of them out of Hollywood. But it became really financially unworkable for the state. We were giving away too much. And Georgia jumped in and made it more competitive. And yes, it's created some subsidiaries and some spinoffs in terms of other work. But ultimately, it's that environment that attracted Hollywood there. And I think if they start reversing their policies and start going liberal, they're going to lose it.
Yeah, I think we need to give the folks in Georgia and Alabama a lot of
support, right? They need to know that there's folks out there who are backing what they're doing to steel their spines against this, because there are examples in the past where these economic threats have had real effect. And so, again, you don't always need to change a law to change the culture. And that's where corporations putting their thumbs on the liberal side of the scale mm-hmm. on nearly every single issue in this country can have an effect. And that's why there is about 90 liberal shareholder activist groups in this country who, when a company isn't acting liberal enough, they're at their front door demanding it again. Initially, these companies were all staying silent on this debate until NARAL, Planned Parenthood, the ACLU, and investor activist groups went to their door and demanded that they get involved. And so, you know, my message to conservatives and Christians and folks of faith, you've got to reach out to these companies. You don't have to necessarily be an investor like myself and show up at the shareholder meeting. But if you don't send an email, if you don't make a phone call, your voice isn't heard.
So, Justin, they can find out more about how to do that by connecting with you?
Absolutely. Come to nationalcenter.org. My email's right up there. Please reach out to me. I'm happy to bring folks alongside to get involved in the corporate battles because, look, I like being a lone voice in the wilderness sometimes, but not all the time. So,
We'll see, Justin, if we can get you a choir. All right.
I love it.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us. As always, great to talk with you, Justin.
Thanks, Tony. Have a great day.
All right. Justin Danhoff with the is the director of Free Enterprise, the Free Enterprise Project. I would encourage you to join with him. He's doing a great job. Really, he's showing up at these meetings and he's asking these questions and he's putting these CEOs on the spot. So he can, you know, no reason to reinvent the wheel. He knows how to do it. Join with him. Go to TonyPerkins.com. You can follow the links over to find out how you can connect with Justin and join with him and add your voice to the choir of those defending conservative principles and speaking into corporate America. Also, still got folks standing by to take your call. If you'd like to join the End Birthday Abortion Campaign, go to call 800-225-4008. That's 800-225-4008. Or you can go to TonyPerkins.com and click on the banner to End Birthday Abortion. We're going to send 90,000 of these newborn thermal baby hats to Nancy Pelosi. I'm going to deliver them myself. And so almost halfway, actually over halfway there, and you can help put us over the top. Go to TonyPerkins.com or call 800-225-4008. All right, just about out of time. I want to thank you for joining us today. Covered a lot of ground. If you missed anything on your way home, go back to TonyPerkins.com. In about an hour, it'll all be archived. Also, be good to get the Stand app. That way, everything's right there at your fingertips. Just go to the App Store and download the Stand Firm app. All right, until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.